Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with Steve Arterburn and co-hosts Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Mylon Yurkovich, Dr. Sherry Keffer, Chris Williams, and Dr. Alice Benton. New Life Live is dedicated to bringing you hope and help through practical and biblical solutions for daily living. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word for genuine spiritual healing. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now, here's Steve Arterburn.
Yes, it is. It is Steve Arterburn, and really glad you're with us here today on New Life Live. Joining me, two of the great patriots of our country. They fought for our country's mental health over the years, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard.
Hey.
Here's a new thing.
Hey. That's a new way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, here's a new thing. Dave Stoop and I, Dave is our newest board member at New Life. And Dave, thank you for serving on the board of directors
Delighted
of New
to do
Life
it.
Ministry. This
Delighted.
Is the first board where Dave's ever been really fully appreciated for all that he is, because we're the ones that know him best. We know what he's good for.
Yeah, I don't usually do boards.
Yeah, I know. And thank you for doing this one.
This is too meaningful to pass up.
So. Aww.
Well, you know, we needed a clinician on the board. I said, well, you know,
smart.
We're trying to follow the Great Commission. Why not get the Great Clinician to do the Great Commission? That was my thought. So here we are with the Great Clinician and the Great Commission all there. But anyway, thank you, Dave, so very much. Dave is he's the author of Making Peace with Your Father, and that's our resource that we're featuring here. And, of course, that goes right along with the Mercy Me story that's told in the movie. I can only imagine at the end of the movie, there it is, 1-800-HELP-FOR-ME comes right up at the end, and that takes people to us. And we would love for you to ask somebody else to go to that movie. If anybody wants to join us, we're going to do 3 hours of programs today. And the first one is absolutely live, and you can join us at 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. We would love to talk with you about anything. All right, let's, how about this? How about we go to Rosa from Palo Alto, California, listening on KFAX. Hey, Rosa, how you doing?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
You are welcome. How can we help today?
I just very frustrated and worried about my son.
Okay, what's going on?
He's 22 years old. And
23?
He's just 22. And
okay.
He is addicted to internet. He's stay home 24/7, doesn't get out, sleep crazy hours, playing all day or all night, and he doesn't have any motivation.
Okay.
I don't know what to do. I know this started when he was little, when the teacher told me that no text that he has ADD.
Mm-hmm.
And for a while he took medication, and then we never wanted to do that, so we gave it to him, and then we stopped, and then start again. And when he was going to school, when he was little, he struggled for doing his work because he got distracted.
Mm-hmm.
And
we know this story, by the way.
Yeah,
so how could we help you today? What could we help you with today?
So,
a lot of people don't think that it's a real live addiction.
I don't know what to do. Sometimes I talk to my sisters and tell me, kick him out, and I can't do that. It's like he doesn't have a job. He had a job like 3 times and just for a little while. And
So when we get back, we're going to help him have a problem. Because right now, he doesn't have a problem. He's giving them all to you. So we're going to try to help you give them back to him, all right? Because as long as a guy doesn't have a problem and his mommy has all the problems, well, they just never do anything but just live without any problems. So it's going to be tough, but we're going to help you through this, and I'm really glad that you called. You're listening to New Life Live, and are we ever glad that you are? We'll take a break and come right back for more New Life after this.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the everyman's battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
All right, we're back. Okay, this is a tough one because, Rosa, you've already told us, well, I can't kick him out. And that really is the battle cry of a mom who's frustrated. But at some point, we have to get him to independence, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's back this thing up. We wouldn't want you to just walk into his room right now and say, take all your stuff and leave. Now, that'd be silly, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And we've been doing this for 30 years, so no one's ever accused us of being, well, somehow. Okay. But anyway, beside that. So what we got to do is we've got to give him an opportunity to have a plan and some accountability.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you're very good at being the accountability source for him. That's not negative about you. It's just you're his mother and you love him. So what I would be suggesting is that he must, to maintain his current status, he must go to see a male counselor, and the male counselor helps implement a plan where within 6 months, he is independent of you. That means he has to deal with time management. He has to, if he can't stop doing video games, then he's got to get the help that requires. He's got to have a schedule, structure, all sorts of things. And he has to start looking for a job so that in 6 months he knows you're not going to be kicking him out. In 6 months, he's going to leave either to a better place or to no place. But I can't see this happening without him having a male counselor working with you and him to implement a plan
and
for independence.
Someone who understands ADD and ADHD issues.
And addictions.
And addictions, absolutely. And the internet is the worst thing for the ADD brain, right? Because there's a lack of focus anyway, and it just perpetuates it. So this is a kid, though, that probably does have great difficulty pulling himself away. So if he doesn't have any natural structures in his life, if he's doing nothing, he's not in school, he's not working, he's doing nothing, then it's easy to lose hours into this. And see, at his age, it's a privilege to live at home. And so, he has to meet some minimum requirements. But in order to help him do that, because it is your home, I would be getting one of those programs that turns off your internet at a certain hour that you can implement, so that helps to be a natural, you're implementing it, but it's a natural boundary for him, that he doesn't get unlimited access in your home, and you get to control that, because we can only control what's within our control, right?
Hey, Rosa,
where's
his father?
he's with us, but he never, from the beginning, he never, I feel like he doesn't, I don't have his support. He, I think he has the same kind of thing, and he's avoiding conflict and doesn't want to. And I keep telling him, just turn off the internet. I don't want anything of that, unless he bought those computers that he has in his room. And I'm thinking, should I pull out those computers? And but my husband turned off the internet for a little while, and then he goes in the living room and starts playing games on the TV. And it's like, this has got to stop. It's driving me crazy.
Everything I said still goes, but you and your husband aren't married here. You need to be a married couple dealing with a very severe problem that your son is too dependent on you and he's got a problem. Mm-hmm. So you guys need to be of one mind on this stuff.
Yeah, because I wonder where your husband sees this going. Mm-hmm. Okay, he's 22, but what about when he's 25? Is it still okay to play video games?
He's telling me that, my husband tells me, he's a good kid. He's not causing any trouble outside. He's not doing drugs. He's not drinking. Okay. He's not smoking. But
there's more to life than...
But he's also not growing up.
Right.
No.
He's staying a little boy.
Yes.
Right. So what would be some... Maybe it doesn't have to be extreme, but what are some next steps that your husband sees? I mean, if he's not in school... At his age, he should maintain a part-time job at the very least.
Yeah. I tell my husband, and he goes, oh, he's looking for something. Like, he is, like, he's, I don't know, he doesn't take it. I think my husband, it's, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I just, sometimes I feel like I have two kids.
Right. Well, I would really want to understand where that's coming from in your husband. You know, what's going on with him. He tries to soften it.
He says he used to be the same. And also my husband, when my son, it was like, when I was pregnant of my son, he was doing drugs. My husband, I find out. And then he, sometimes I even wonder if he's still doing drugs. He's telling me that.
Your husband?
Not, but sometimes he says he's not doing it anymore, but I heard that if you don't go to the meetings and if you don't do anything about it, you can't just get rid of, stop doing that. So I don't know if he's...
Rosa, you're more concerned about your son than you are about your dead marriage. And if we could help you with that marriage, I think you guys coming together, working on your son's problem... Mm-hmm. You'd have a better result. But you and your husband are not together on this stuff here. You're not working as a married couple. Mm-hmm. So that's part of the problem. And the son plays.
He takes his cues from his dad because he's a boy and he's identifying with dad.
Yeah,
dad
happens all the time. So I'm going to do this. I'm going to send you Dave's book, Smart Love. And I'm going to tell you what I tell everybody that something like this comes up. The marriage intensive that we do fixes problems like this, and that's why we do it. And I don't like it when people call and the best we have to offer is a workshop. I want to give you something helpful to do right now. So that's why I said you need to get this boy in with a male counselor. But you and your husband, now that I hear this, you've got to get on the same page. Mm-hmm. And one weekend could get you guys on the same page. You call us, or we'll help you. But anybody else, you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We can help you with this. We really can.
Well, and I think Al-Anon would also be good for both situations.
Definitely. For
you,
her.
Rosa, for some support.
Because she feels responsible for everybody. Mm-hmm. And she's raising two kids, she said. So she needs to learn how to stop raising grown men. Mm-hmm. Let them.
All right. Let's go to, let's see. Let's talk with Janet, San Francisco, California, listening on KFAX here. Hi.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. The reason of my call is about I need to get help counseling with how to deal with a 17-year-old tantrum that he knows that he is close to being 18. And he wants my husband and I to give him a little bit more freedom. We have some rules in the house. For example, put the phone sometime, 11 p.m. And he has not done it for already twice, for example. And I give him a rule that if he forgets once, for example, I take some of his privilege out. If he forgets two, I add in more time, and then three is going to be gone. Well, he has been throwing some, actually, tantrums, like hitting walls, kicking, going on the floor, and he never did that when he was a little guy. And he's doing that. It's very annoying. He doesn't want to listen. And I just want to know, for a 17 years old or 18, what consequences and boundaries I can actually put into place at this point. And because it looks like he is not taking my voice and my rules very seriously.
Yeah, I would say that would be the understatement, wouldn't it, that he's not taking it seriously. Now, it sounds like to me this system of taking things away isn't working too well. Guys, what do you think would be some option that she would have other than just this taking more stuff
again,
away?
Again, with a 17-year-old boy, what did you say his dad's involvement is? Because this is where, you know, he's going to be pushing against you as the mom more. And, I mean, these sound like rules for a kid that's younger in a lot of ways. So where is dad?
Okay. Dad is more loose. However, I've been talking to his dad, and he's coming aboard with what I'm actually trying to encourage or put some boundaries here. My husband was not, at one point was clueless, I guess, about, you know, phones and things like that. But now he's basically backing me up, and we are in the same page.
Okay. Now, what is the rule you have on the phone? What was that rule?
11 o'clock p.m. No phone.
No more phone calls at 11. So, and what grade is he in? Senior in high school or junior?
He's a senior.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Is he getting to school on time? Is he maintaining his grades? Is he staying out of trouble?
Good question. He's an excellent student. He is being responsible. And overall, he is a good kid. However, he has done silly stuff that I guess comes with the age. And but overall, he is, you know, doing good in sports. He's very highly involved, and he is actually on a roll as well.
So he's
at school.
So he's maintaining everything. Is there any negative influence on him being on his phone past a certain hour?
I don't know about that. I don't know.
Okay, because
my feeling is maybe that I don't want him to jeopardize his actually grades.
But he's not.
Too late.
Let's just be real direct with you. We think you're being too tough on him.
I mean, this is, you know, because, okay, Janet, I have a 16-year-old boy. He doesn't always get up for school on time. So I, at times, have to take his phone and say, sorry, you need to go to sleep and you're not able to say no to this. So here, I'll just keep it for you until the morning. So I help him in that way. Because he can't always follow through on what he needs to do the next day, and he doesn't have the forward thinking enough when he's staring at a phone. Well, but I'm not hearing that with your son.
No, and he sounds like he's being very responsible. You know what I would do, Janet, is I would sit down with him and say, how would you set the boundary about the phone? And discuss it with him. Treat him as a responsible adult. And ask him to be responsible by making suggestions that are responsible and compromise.
Yeah, what would his limits be?
Not that you do it his way, but somehow you meet in the middle between your way and his way.
Yeah.
And then it becomes a rule that he owns because he helped establish it.
Yeah, it sounds like the tantruming is because he's so over the top with the unreasonableness that from his perspective. Because
so he acts unreasonable.
So he acts unreasonable. Yes, absolutely. But yes, when you treat them a little bit more like an adult and ask them, often they come up with a better answer than you might.
And I wouldn't suggest that if you weren't describing somebody who is mm-hmm. acting very responsible in other ways with his
academics, athletics, yeah, all yeah. of that stuff.
He's maintaining his life.
You know, you can reduce him to a child. You know, when he's saying, mm-hmm. wow, look at all these good things that I do, and that doesn't help me break out of this, that doesn't earn anything for me, I have to act like a child because I am a child. It'd be like you saying, look, he's never harming himself at home, but I've got to keep him in a baby crib. Well, why? Well, I want him to be safe. Keep him in a baby. Well, wait, is he doing irresponsible things, bumping into walls? Is he cutting him? No. Get him out of the baby crib. So we're saying here, you've got to let him go because guess what? Next year, if he feels like he's been so bound up, he goes to college and he's got some freedom, he may go too far. We'll be back after this.
The Take Your Life Back workshop is coming to Orange County, California, March 16th through the 18th.
This weekend has been a chance to honestly share my feelings and to begin ownership of them. I learned how to stand up for myself. I experienced positive feelings that I hadn't experienced before.
Steve Arterburn and Dr. Dave Stoop will teach you how to take charge of your past and your current circumstances so you can look forward with confidence and faith to the road ahead.
This weekend has been just the beginning of taking my life back. I leave with a renewed power to trust in God on a daily basis, a commitment to move forward in my recovery by continually taking my life back.
It's time to take your life back. To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
If you really want to take your life back, then I would highly recommend it.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Last year, after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
All right, we are back. Just want to say, we did think she's been a little tough and because he's got all these other great things going for him, and I just think that's a great reason to give it a shot. Okay, let's try your way here. Let's loosen up for a month and see how it goes.
What's interesting, when Jill just shared in the break that when she gives her son a deadline, he fights it. When he says, when do you want to be home? It's always earlier than she thinks he should be home.
He's always pretty reasonable. And kids I'm always surprised.
That. When they're given the responsibility of making the choice, they're often very reasonable.
Mm-hmm. Well, you just don't want to set up a situation to where once they have some freedom in college, then they go for it.
Well, right, and as a senior, yeah. You've got to start letting the reins out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right, definitely. If anybody wants to join us, we're going to do 3 hours of programs today, and you can join us at 1-800-229-3000, 1-800-229-3000. All right, let's go to Renee, Anchorage, Alaska, KATB. Hi, Renee. Welcome to New Life. Thanks for holding. Renee,
are
you there?
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. What's going on?
My question is, I have a 31-year-old daughter who came out as a lesbian 5 years ago. And I love her, and I told her I love her, and I'm a born-again Christian. And so two questions. do I attend the wedding that she's planning with her girlfriend, and when do I tell her that I'm not going to be going to the wedding?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, now this is one of these situations. We rarely get a call like this where we can offend everybody listening, but it's a tough one. It's a real tough one. So on the one hand, I get it that you don't want to celebrate something that you don't believe is right. You believe that marriage is between a man and a woman. And the leftist folks in our country want us to believe it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. But male and female, it doesn't matter. It's not even an issue. The difference between male and female that God set out, see, they don't think God matters, so they don't think the differences that he set up matter either. They don't think the difference between right and wrong matters. That's just a matter of opinion. Should be able to figure it out as you go along. So I get that you don't want to endorse that. And but then we've got this issue of, okay, this is your daughter, and you want the best for her, and you want to be involved in her life, even though it's painful. Sometimes parents have said, look, I know this is who you are, and you know my feelings about all that. I don't want to be at the wedding. You know, the wedding thing, it's so sacred to me, God, man, and a woman. It's something he set up. I'll go to the reception. I mean, that's an option that some have taken. Others have said, I know you want me to accept you, but I hope that you'll accept me. And you know how I feel about this, and you know my beliefs, and you know what you're doing goes against them, and I hope that, you know, I'm going to accept it after you're married. I'm going to accept this, and I want to be part of your life. I hope you'll accept me, just not wanting to be part of that, what I believe is a sacred ceremony. Let me hear from Dave and Jill what they're thinking.
I'm thinking the opposite of what you suggested. And one of the, I would go to the wedding because 5 years from now, I wouldn't want to say, you know, I missed something that was important to you and I'm sorry. But I wouldn't go to this to the reception because the reception is sort of the celebration of the wedding part. And mm-hmm. but the important thing to think through is how do I stay connected to my daughter in spite of her or what she's choosing to do? And because the connection is more important in some ways than taking a stand on a position that is important to you but is not important to them. And you can take a stand on that and then miss out something that you'll regret later. So think in terms of the long run, the bigger picture, mm-hmm. in terms of, well, 5 years from now, what, and my daughter says, well, you missed this or you missed that or you missed what. And I think the wedding part is the one that would be the most important to at least be an observer, and then you don't celebrate.
So sometimes it is more of a witness to be able to say to her, you know how I believe, or let me share with you how I believe. And knowing how I believe, also know that what's more, well, my beliefs are number one, but my belief in God. But what's also important to me is my love for you and maintaining a relationship with you. And I want to be supportive of you, even if we disagree. So knowing how I believe and hearing this, do you still want me to be there? Because I wouldn't be supporting this type of union. I would be there supporting you, even though we have a difference of opinion on this.
And I would go even farther, Jill, to say, okay, or further, that sometimes when a parent says, you know how I believe, I'm not going there in support of a marriage. I'm going there in support of my child. Then the child eventually goes, wow, look at what my parent did. Mm-hmm. Look at how they stretched to be part of my life. Mm-hmm. Don't I just owe them kind of thinking their position through again on this? And you know, they're not stupid and they believe the Bible to be true. Shouldn't, I mean, look at what they did. Look at that compassion for me. Shouldn't I just give them the benefit of of looking at how they feel about this? Maybe I did just abandon all belief in right and wrong and God and mm-hmm. the teachings that they believe. Maybe because they were so strong and courageous to come. Maybe I owe it to them to look at what they went through to do that.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. I just want to say, we were talking at the break, you know, if you decided not to go to the wedding, we support that because there's no, there, I just don't think every situation is the same. And I was telling Dave and Jill, let's just say that your child is going to get married in New York and everybody's going to be gay there and you're just going to go and that's a little different scenario than in your own hometown and everybody's going to judge this and they have all these opinions. Every situation is different. And I just think the answer depends on the situation. But look, We're not soft on the truth here. Don't think that. We believe marriage is for a man and a woman. And we don't think that a couple involved in a homosexual relationship, that that's what God intended. And, you know, people say, yes, but how could God make me this way? Well, you know, we live in a fallen world. And a lot of things get into a fallen world that aren't God's original intent. And we look at Scripture and we say, you know, a lot of people think that this thing about being married to one person, not committing adultery, is an impossible standard to uphold. But that's the standard. And so there are a lot of things that are tough to uphold. We just don't apologize for believing the Bible to be true. And it's very clear. There are a lot of issues that aren't addressed in the Scripture. This one is addressed. It's very clear. And but don't take our position on truth as something that doesn't have great compassion for mm-hmm. anybody and runs, that struggles in this area. It's horrible
and
struggle.
It runs head on into the whole idea of connection. But the other thing too, I think, Steve, is that when a parent wants to make a statement, a moral statement at a wedding, that's a little late. The statement right. should have been made long before that in terms of where they stand. And you don't need to make a statement at the wedding because they should know what your feelings are and what your principles are from conversations prior to that. And I just think in terms of what I want to feel 5 years from now, did I miss something important in my child's life? that I needed to see or be part of in supporting him or her, that's the question that has to be dealt with as well.
Yeah, that's right. And look, we don't have to take calls like this that we know are going to offend everybody because we don't say this or that. But I think it's important that we give this our best perspective based on God's truth, love, compassion. Donnie from New Brunswick, Canada, listens on Sirius XM. How you doing? How can we help you?
Hey, I'm doing all right, man. How about you?
Well, doing okay. What's going on?
Well, this is the thing. See, I've been married for, oh, it's going on 9 years.
Okay.
My wife and I, we met doing street ministry. I was fresh out of recovery, a long-term rehab facility. And we ended up getting married, and it was a horrible marriage right up until a couple months ago, actually. 18 months ago, our daughter was born, and that was just amazing, and she's perfect and everything. But this is the thing. I don't love my wife. As a matter of fact, a lot of the times, I don't even like my wife. And intimacy is a huge, huge, huge issue, whether it be communication or physical. I don't express it. I don't want anything to do with it. And I thought it was just with her, but it's with absolutely everybody. I don't have a deep relationship with absolutely anybody. And the only person that I know of that I actually feel love for is my daughter.
Okay. And so what's the question for us then? What's the question then?
What would you advise I do?
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, let me ask you this. Who were you most connected to when you were growing up?
Nobody.
Hmm. Okay. And why was that? What was the situation?
Well, as long as I can remember, anybody that I got close to, they either beat me or abandon me or just disregard me altogether.
And being the articulate man that I'm talking to now, have you figured out that that might have just about everything to do with your struggle to be close, intimate, connected, and engaged with other people? Have you figured
Absolutely.
That out?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I have.
All yeah. right.
I just don't know how to get over that wall.
Okay.
Yeah,
right.
Your daughter is an innocent, right?
She
can't hurt you yet. So you're letting her in. But
she's totally safe.
Mm-hmm.
She's totally
that's
safe.
My fear.
Yeah.
She's going to make a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to discard her because she makes a mistake. I want to fix this beforehand.
Right.
Right. Well, and listen. You don't have to believe either when people say, well, she's going to reject you at some level either. That isn't necessarily true, especially if right now at 18 months you're trying to fix this thing.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing is, based on what you know about yourself and your past, is to be sure that your wife knows that you know that your struggle with her has nothing to do with her. Do you think she knows that or not?
Absolutely. I assured her of that a couple months ago.
Okay. All right. And so you're enjoying the baby. You're still struggling with this. You continue to let her know that you know it's not about her. And then you tell her, I am now going to go to work. I'm going to work now, and I'm going to get this taken care of. Now, Dave, I'll talk with you. You're the honored clinician, as we started out of the program. So a guy that has had this devastation and now with a baby here realizing this baby may make a mistake and I may reject this baby like the other folks, what do you think is a kind of a 1-2-3 plan for him that might heal that deprivation down there and bring him back a whole man able to give himself wholly and fully to another person?
Well, I think what you're doing, Donnie, is you're attaching. You don't have attachments because you feel very self-sufficient. And now you suddenly feel like you're not self-sufficient because you're in new territory. But the solution comes by getting involved with other men. And you don't work directly on the relationship with your wife and think that that's going to solve it. It's paradoxical how God creates our solutions in that you learn how to be a man from other men. You learn how to connect with other people through connecting with other men. And in doing that, you're going to find out that you begin to develop the ability to connect to your wife. It's something that is common. It's an attachment issue, and it's you got to face what you're afraid of, and take some risk in doing that, and taking some risks with some men. I was raised in a not as violent a situation, but where I became very self-sufficient and didn't think I needed anybody. And when I started to open up in my training days for my counseling degree, I found that it was scary, but then I got the response that I didn't expect. And I came home after being involved in a group and a process like that and said that I'm going to take that risk with my wife, and I did. And she was responsive in a way that she took a risk and opened up to me as well. Your mm-hmm. wife is probably as self-sufficient as you are, and I'm glad that she's able to accept the process. But give yourself some time, and don't be down on yourself for it, because it certainly has a foundation in the past that can be overcome.
If I could wave a magic wand, it would be to have a man about like you, Dave, show up in his life as his therapist.
Right.
And then he'd meet with the pastor for some discipleship stuff. Mm-hmm. But
then
get into a men's group support group or therapy group.
Yeah.
But we've worked with people all our lives, Donnie. They at your age, they still think everybody else has the problem.
Mm-hmm.
You're so far ahead of where you could be. It's a gift. It really is. And that's what makes me grateful for your situation. Is you're aware of some things that a lot of people never are, never come around to understanding. I'm the problem. I got to fix me. Mm-hmm. So if I were you, I'd get in a men's Bible study. I'd have a kind of one-on-one every time I could with my pastor. I'd get a male counselor. It really is a male-to-male thing that's going to help you with these two amazing females in your life. That's what I believe.
And one of the things you can work on in that process is how to continue to connect to your daughter, because she's got the twos coming up where they kind of learn how to say no, and it's going to test your ability to stay connected.
All right. Well, I hope and pray that something we've said here is really good. Take Your Life Back and Healing is a Choice are the two books that I think could be the most helpful, because I wrote them. Dave and I wrote Take Your Life Back together. I think it can help you. I think it'll give you a path toward connection and engagement with other people. We'll be back. You know, one of the great things about TV.newlife.com is some people will never read a little chapter of a book, but you can put a video in front of them and say, "Hey, honey, watch this with me." And they'll sit down and they'll watch that 5-minute clip. And that 5-minute clip may change their lives forever, and of course may change yours. Here's what one of our viewers on New Life Television said.
We looked at the budget. We decided, you know, I'm not getting those benefits from Netflix. So we canceled Netflix and subscribed to the good stuff.
If you have a problem, we have a program to match that problem, and it's going to provide you hope, help, and healing. You know, I don't know what you're waiting for. You will never find a better value than all of the transforming content that you'll find at tv.newlife.com. Your life will never be the same. We really are proud to be part of tv.newlife.com.
Every time we try to talk, it just turns into a fight. I am so tired of arguing.
I don't understand. God, why did you take him from me?
I don't want my kids to think of me as the angry dad. Why can't I control my temper?
I feel like he's more like my roommate than my husband. How did we become this distant?
I hate looking in the mirror. No matter what I try, nothing seems to work. I just feel like my world is spinning out of control.
I feel so broken. Could God ever heal me?
Is it ever going to get better?
I feel like I'm drowning.
When will I learn to just breathe again?
It doesn't have to be this way. 48 hours can change your life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
This is Terry McIntosh with some encouragement for you this week. If there's a struggle you're facing, a relationship issue, or just a desire to improve your life, we have a nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors that we can connect you to. They've been interviewed, their credentials verified, and they agreed to New Life's statement of faith. So if we can help you with that, give us a call at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And if you aren't receiving the free New Life Daily Devotional, you are missing out. We email it to you every morning, so anytime during your day that you need a moment to reset and refocus on God's truth, it's right there at your fingertips. There's a sign-up link right at the bottom of the homepage at newlife.com to get you started. Steve?
All right, we're going to be sitting here for another couple hours, and we'd love for you to join us right here on Friday, maybe 3 hours after this. Come join us. Be part of what we're doing here. 1-800-229-3000. That's the number you call. 1-800-229-3000. Yeah, let me just check that time. It's going to be, so 3 hours. Here we are. You come join us. We'll talk to you. And by the way, we'll give you the best advice we have. We will not be discounting our advice. All right. So let's go to Phil, Antioch, California. KFIA is the station. Hey, Phil, how's it going?
Yeah, how you doing, Steve? My question is about divorce and remarriage. A woman divorced me twice. She's a professing believer. In 2008, and I recently got married a year ago. And I did all this research about it and had to buy some people. But now I'm feeling guilty. It's been a year in my new marriage to a wonderful woman, but I think I'm living in adultery. Some people say I am. Some people say I'm not. And I was wondering why there's so much difference of opinion.
Yeah. Well, it's a little bit confusing in Scripture. But here's what I think is the best advice I could give you. Number one, if divorce and remarriage is horrible, creating another divorce would be horrible also, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, so I don't ever think, and I think some people actually would teach this, just go ahead and divorce because this isn't right. But I don't think creating another divorce is going to be a good thing. So what I think is that you tell God, that God, if this is not right in your eyes, and maybe you've discovered that you don't think it is right because, it doesn't feel like you're free, you would have been free in the eyes of God to remarry. But you're married. So you say, God, I commit this to you. I repent. I want to be faithful here. I want to make this a God-honoring marriage, even though it might have started in a way that wasn't exactly according to your truth. Like when a teenage couple, they get pregnant and get married. Well, it didn't start the right way, but they might end up having the greatest marriage ever. So I think you want to be a voice for redemption, not to encourage people under any circumstance to divorce and get married again, but to say that God doesn't give up on any of us. God says, if you confess your sin, if you're repentant, you're remorseful, then God, he forgets your sin. He casts it as far as east is from west. He wipes the slate clean. And that doesn't say, unless you remarry and you really didn't have grounds to remarry. So Satan wants you to live in condemnation, and God wants you to accept his forgiveness if whatever you did was actually wrong and live free of condemnation. Let's hear from Jill and Dave.
Well, it's obvious that the getting a divorce is not the unpardonable sin. And I think Steve is right on in everything he's saying, that If you feel that way, then repent and ask God to bless your relationship, because he's in the redemption business. He redeems bad situations and makes them good. Mm-hmm. But don't let anybody put you into a situation where you start to question whether God can forgive, or whether God loves you, or whether God really cares about the current marriage. And that's what's important.
And make restitution where you can. Now, I thought I heard you say that your first wife divorced you. So I don't...
She cussed me out, you know, swore at me. And then the second time she said that God said that you had an emotional affair. Or no, she said you had an affair with a woman, a real affair. And back then, I didn't know what emotional affairs were. I mean, she threw me out of the house, put me in the hospital. She divorced me. There was a time where I wish I could. I never would dare to divorce her. If people told me to, I wouldn't do it. Mm-hmm. And then there was a time when I never thought about the scriptures. Could you get a divorce? And I did see another girl in church that I wish I could have gotten married to, because she threw me out of the house, threw me out of her life. Back then, that's what I thought. But I never touched another woman or messed around with another woman. I wish I could have had another woman.
But guess what all this is saying? You need to be more connected with some men in a great church, so that you're not questioning all this all the time, that you've got some security in your beliefs and your marriage, because we want to see you invested in your marriage, not in the wound of the past one. Jill, do you have
something
to interrupt
you, John? No, you just make restitution where you can. Maybe you owe your first wife an apology. I mean, if you are, you know, have a wandering eye and are cheating, well, yeah, wives are going to get upset about that. So that's where God's forgiveness comes in. And if there's a way to make it up to someone, you do that. And if there's not, you move forward.
Yeah, thoughts came in my mind as a man, but I never... She was so jealous, I never talked to anybody.
Are you hearing what we're saying? Are you hearing what we're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we're not retrying the case. We're saying take ownership of your part. Make amends where you can.
Or where it's needed.
Or where it's needed. Okay? And then you go to God, as Steve has said, and you get involved so that you have a lot of accountability, so that when you're hurting or upset, you don't run down paths that would be away from God. You run to God's people and to other men where it's safe.
Because we
clean up your life now.
Yeah. We don't want you to be calling us in 5 years going, you know, I have this miserable marriage, and, well, I never felt like it was right to begin with. We hear those calls all the time.
Then I wandered again.
Yeah, and so we don't want that. I believe that God forgives sin. If he doesn't, I got to resign right now.
Yeah.
Okay? But if you heard the wonderful Billy Graham talk about his life, he wasn't a perfect man. At his funeral, Ruth Graham, his daughter, Ruth, talked about after she had been married to this guy, I don't know, what was 5 weeks or so, or 5 months, I don't know, she realized she was afraid of him. She made a mistake. She goes back home. This wasn't her first divorce. And there was Billy out in the driveway with his arms around his daughter. See, that's who God is. And he wants to help us and love us. And that's not just for the divorce. That's for the married who maybe shouldn't be married. But God's not going to give up on you. God's a God of love. And you're going to have some consequences and conflicts and all sorts of stuff. But let's let God be God. And let's let him fully forgive. Now, if you want to join us, future program here this afternoon, 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. If you want to help us help other people, please call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Join Club New Life. We'll send you a library of 8 books on understanding and loving the people that have problems in your life. Access to our video library discounts. It's $30 a month in honor of our 30th anniversary. Please call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And you've heard about our workshops, Every Man's Battle. Well, that starts today right here. Every Man's Battle. You could probably still get in. I don't know. Take Your Life Back is going to be March 16th in Orange County. There's always some place to go to get some help at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Jill. Thanks to all of you. Give us a call, 1-800-229-3000. We love you. See you next time.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life.
We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.